Let's pray to the Lord together. Father God, we thank you for the amazing gift of your holy word. Please teach us from it now. Help us to be changed people, people who grow in our relationship. Amen. Please do sit down. Is my microphone playing up or is it okay? Can you hear me okay? That's good. So if you do have a Bible at the end of the pews, do pick it up and turn to page 927. We're going to be looking at Jonah chapter 2, or beginning with the last verse in Jonah chapter 1. We've been looking at the last week and this week at Jonah. What a great story it is. Let's just have a quick recap. I'm going to ask a couple of questions. So last week we heard God give a command to Jonah. Everybody remember what that is? Maybe one of the younger people, can you remember from last week's family church? What did God call Jonah to do? Go to Nineveh. Did he want to go to Nineveh? No. Can you remember why he might not have wanted to go to Nineveh? I think it was a really bad city. He was scared. He might have got killed if he went there. But also, we learn later, he was a bit scared. If he went and preached in Nineveh, they might change their ways. And you know what God's like. He might only go and forgive them. And Jonah didn't like that. He was happy for God to forgive his own people, the Israelites, but not those horrible Ninevites who lived over to the east. So, Nineveh's to the east. Which direction did Jonah head off in?
West.
West. He headed to the west. And he kept going and going. Now, you don't see this in our Bible translations, but if you read it in the English Standard or the Revised Standard, or the original Hebrew, if you want to do that, this is a picture you get. Because Jonah obviously starts up in the hills of Judea. And he's described as then, when he turns away from God and runs away, he goes down to Joppa. It says that in our NIVs, but then it says he got on board the boat. Literally, he went down into the boat. And then we read he went down below deck and fell asleep. So if we bring up our first point, please, Mark, we see Jonah's descent. Now, as Jonah runs away from God, we see him. One more, Mark. There we go. As Jonah runs away from God, we see him spiritually going down. And that's what happens when we turn away from God. But he goes even further down. The last verse of chapter 1, the second last one, we see Jonah being thrown overboard, and then he starts going down even further and sinks right to the bottom of the sea. It's Jonah who starts the process off. He's the one who starts going down. But then God steps in and actually drags him down further. Which is a bit odd, really, because today we're thinking all about God's grace. How God loves us, how he wants to show favour to us. And he actually does Jonah a favour by dragging him down almost to his death. He goes right down to the grave, he says. And he even then says, in verse 4, I have been banished from your sight. If Jonah doesn't do anything, he's going to end up there dead forever, banished from God's sight forever, cut off from God forever, in the place of the dead. But Jonah cries out. And when we cry out, when we've been brought low, God comes running. The thing really, though, is God had already sent a storm to try and grab Jonah's attention. And Jonah ignored it. When he's thrown over, finally God has a chance to grab Jonah's attention. Sometimes God might send a hard time on us. And it's actually his grace. He's trying to grab our attention. Because only when we go to rock bottom can we see that God is our only hope. Our only help. If we don't go rock bottom, sometimes we think, oh, I can sort this out myself. But we have to go rock bottom. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? Remember that one? The son, what did he do? He was in his father's household and he said, I want the inheritance now, Dad. And so long, Dad, I'm running away from you, and I'm going to go and spend it all. And that's what he did. If he kept on living it up, he would have never thought of turning back to the father's house. But when he ended up with the pigs, eating the pig food, he came to his senses and thought, maybe I should go back. Sometimes God might need to drag us down so that he can lift us up. And in our Bible reading, we do read about God wanting to lift Jonah up. So that's Jonah's descent. And as Jonah sinks in, we see in verse 2, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Jonah starts to repent. So our second thing we're going to think about is Jonah's repentance. Now I'm going to need some help here, I think. Because what is involved in repentance? Do you want to come out? And you've seen me do this before, but I think it's very helpful. I have a big crown here. Do you remember what the big crown represents? The big crown represents God. And God created us. He created you. Something like this. To live under his authority, which means doing what God says, obeying him, and loving him. What did Jonah do when God said, go to Nineveh? He ran away. He said, no, look away, God, I'm not doing that. So Jonah stopped living under God's authority and said, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to listen to you. Do you want to walk over here? And Jonah says, I'm going to be my own king. Make up our own rules. And this is what we all do. We've seen this picture before. Every human being says, so long, God, I'm in charge, not you. And that spells S-I-N, sin. All the bad things, all the sins come from that big sin of us turning away from God, saying, I'm not going to listen to you, I'm going to do my own rules. And that's what we all do. And Jonah realized that the first stage of repentance is to admit that he's running away from God and doing his own thing. If we're going to experience God's grace, step number one, admit we've been sinning, living our own way without God. Step number two, we've got to realise we cannot save ourselves. How do we get back to God if we decide I don't want to do this anymore? We want to come back under here. Can we sort out the problem ourselves? No, you can't. That's the thing. You can't do it. No matter how hard you try, and no matter how many charities you support, it's no good. And Jonah, we see, sinking to the place of death, he thinks, I can't save myself. Step number two, admit, I cannot save myself. Help me, God. That's why God has to drag us down, so that we realise God is our only help. And for Jonah, the help came in the form of a big fish. How does our help come? How do we get rescued by God so we can move from here back to there? I'm giving you a clue by the way I'm standing. The cross of Jesus. That's how we do it. Which brings us thirdly on to Jonah's salvation. When Jonah admits he's a sinner, when he admits he can't save himself, all he can do is cry out to God. God sends a fish, and this fish delivers him. Thank you. My helper can sit down now. We have to embrace God's salvation. And for us, that's a cross. But there's a couple of other clues. What does Jonah do in the psalm? Twice it mentions, he says, I've been banished from your sight. I'm going to start looking back to your holy temple. What does the holy temple in the Old Testament represent? It represents where God lives. So Jonah now is saying, I'm not going to turn away from you anymore. I'm going to look to your presence. The other thing that happens in the temple is it's where the sacrifice for sin takes place. So when Jonah looks to the temple, he's looking to God's presence and to God's sacrifice to forgive him. And that brings us to the cross again. Jesus is the presence of God for us, the true temple. And Jesus is God's sacrifice for us. And that way, he is our big fish. So, Jonah's descent, maybe God has to pull us down. Until we admit that we have sinned, we have turned away from God, and that we cannot save ourselves, and then we need to come to our salvation. Jonah's salvation was the fish. Our salvation is the cross of Jesus. The only way we can be saved. Just have a look at verse 8. This is what Jonah realizes. He's now praying to the holy temple, and he realizes that those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Those who cling to anything except the cross of Christ forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Now, what's an idol in our lives? It could be chasing after wealth. It could be trusting in romantic relationships. It could mean trusting in popularity. It could mean trusting in anything except Jesus and the cross. If we do that, we're going to forfeit the grace and the salvation that could be ours. The only way we can be saved is through God's means of salvation, and that is the cross. Finally, Jonah is transformed. After he's made this prayer, he makes a vow in the fish. I'm now going to follow you, God. I'm now going to do the right thing. The fish vomits him onto land. And if you look ahead into next week, God comes a second time. Jonah, I'm calling you. Go to Nineveh. What does he do this time? He obeys. He's learned his lesson. No longer is he going to say, so long, God, I'm in charge, not you. Now he's going to say, you know what, God? You're in charge, not me. But we're going to find, as we look ahead, that Jonah is still a work in progress. Like we all are, he's still got a lot to learn. But our sanctification, our transformation, sometimes takes a long time. But I just want to end, really, by thinking about something, probably mainly for the adults, this. I think one of the big problems we have these days in the church is what's being described as cheap grace. Have you heard that expression? Cheap grace? What cheap grace is, it means that we're saying, wow, I love the Christian message. I love the fact that Jesus died for me. I'll have that and I'll be put right with God. But then we don't let ourselves be transformed. We keep on saying, well, okay, God, yes, I'll accept your salvation, but actually, when you say things to me, I'm not really going to do it. I'm not going to bother coming much to church on a Sunday. I'll just come maybe a couple of times. I'm not going to give you much money. I'm going to just give you maybe the leftover pennies. And if you call on my life to follow you with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my strength, I'm not going to do that. I'll just give you a little bit. That's cheap grace. Wanting the benefits of the cross, the benefits of Christianity, but not wanting to really, really let God be our King when he says, follow me, carry up your cross and follow me, and do what I say and accept my full grace. Jonah was a follower, but when God said something he didn't like, he ran away. He wanted cheap grace. He just wanted to enjoy the benefits of God, but not following God 100%. God calls us to follow 100%. What might God have to do to get us to realize that? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your salvation. We thank you the way you sent that big fish for Jonah. We thank you that our salvation is by looking to the presence of God in Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. Help us to be picked up by you, to be saved by you, and now to be transformed, to live 100% for you. Not only a little bit, but fully for you. And Lord, maybe you're taking us through a hard time. Maybe this is discipline. Hebrews 12 says that you discipline those you love. So accept the hardship as discipline. Maybe we need to accept that hardship, be disciplined, so that we know that you're trying to encourage us to turn back to you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Amen.